The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Intuition Academy, the podcast. My name is Kayla Corsiglia. I am so thrilled to be here and to be speaking to all of you today. It has been a goal of mine for the last 3 or 4 years to start a podcast like this, where I got into the nitty-gritty, the honest, the real aspects of life, living through the inspiration of the inner voice or the intuition. I first learned about the inner voice or the intuition from a mentor of mine, Jess Lively. She has the podcast called The Lively Show, and she's had it for many years. It originated as an entrepreneurial podcast, and eventually it flowed into this podcast all about law of attraction and Abraham Hicks and channeling, and then it dove into the inner voice, and now she does inner voice facilitation, and it's so amazing. I actually did not learn about the inner voice through Jess Lively. I would like to think that I discovered the inner voice or intuition, listening to the intuition. I discovered this aspect of myself completely by accident many, many years ago. And this is basically what I want to use this podcast for. I'm sure that I'll dive into a lot of informational topics and my understandings of things, but what I really want this platform to be is a platform for storytelling. I learn best from people out in the world, when they tell me stories and when they tell me their experiences and when I learn who they are as a person. The people who I have found the most inspirational in my life are the people who are just vulnerable human beings. They just lay it all out on the line, and that's what I want to do here today and every single time I hop on and record a new episode. So this is going to be me, raw and real as I can make it without, you know, pulling in people from my outside life who don't want to be in the same sort of rawness. So for the last 2 or 3 years of my life now, I have been living entirely to the best of my ability. Of course, I'm still human, but to the best of my ability by listening to nothing but my intuitive nudges. And what I mean by that is by listening to the inner voice, which is the intuition. I hear it and I feel it in the solar plexus region of my body. This part of me, when I quiet my mind, speaks to me. And if you go out into the world, especially into the consciousness community, when you look in old ancient texts or you see some of the most influential teachers out there, like Eckhart Tolle or Byron Katie, I mean, you could even hear about it in Eat, Pray, Love. Elizabeth Gilbert talks about talking to this part of herself, like this deep, wise, beautiful aspect of herself that has all the most wise and it's like her highest self speaking through her in that book. It's not something you ever see in the movie, but go back and read the book. And she talks about this aspect of herself that comes through when she's at her lowest points. This was actually Jess Lively's inspiration for creating the work that she does now through Inner Voice. But even people like Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie, I'm convinced at this point that Eckhart Tolle speaks completely through the inner voice, that he just completely shuts his mind down and speaks entirely from that part of himself, that like his soul's consciousness, not the mind that is just part of this human body that we are inhabiting for the time that we have on this planet. And then Byron Katie also talks about quieting the mind and asking yourself, who would I be without the thought? And as soon as you remove the mind and the thought systems from the equation, you become your soul consciousness, the truest part of yourself. When we leave our bodies, this is all my belief system. When we leave our bodies, our mind is no longer the thing that thinks and feels anxiety and feels the emotions and the anger and the rage and the jealousy and the envy. That aspect of ourselves just goes away. And so if you sat down and asked yourself, who would I be without the thought? Just like Byron Katie would ask, you're always at peace. You're always calm. Everything is always perfect. Everything is always wonderful. And this is the way that I've chosen over the last 2 or 3 years to live my life. And I regrettably have not jumped on a podcast and started recording through the process until now. But you know what? I'm here now and I'm doing it now. The first time that I ever felt this soul consciousness take over me was when I was 18, about 10 years ago now. I'm 28 now, almost 29. But when I was 18, I suffered a horrific trauma where I witnessed the death of my boyfriend at the time. I was the only one with him when it happened, and it was a horrible, horrible accident. And I like to think that this experience completely broke me open. It was like the mind didn't know what to do anymore, and it just checked out. It just took a nap for a few weeks, a month, a couple months. It just went to sleep, and the thoughts that came into my mind were no longer, they weren't scary. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't in fear. And I was just, I don't want to say I was in peace, but I was just feeling nothing. I was just neutral. Everything was neutral. And I thought there was something horribly, horribly wrong with me at this point. But what had really happened was the mind had just shut down. I had become my truest self, which in reality is always neutral about everything. Everything's neutral. And so at this point in time, I started hearing a voice. I started hearing a voice, and I'm like hesitant to tell these stories. This is why it's probably taken so long for me to jump onto a platform like this, and why I've chosen podcasts, because I get to be faceless when I'm doing a podcast, you know, and sharing about these things can be really, really scary. Fear of judgment and fear of concern of what other people will think of me if my family listens to this, but whatever. I started hearing a voice. And the voice that came through me at this point was not my own. It was my boyfriend who had passed. Every single thing, it was like he had become his truest self. His truest self without the mind, without the fear. He wasn't afraid anymore of anything because he knew what came after. And he just started coming through me. Every single thought that happened in my head, it was not my voice anymore. It was his. And everything that he had to say to me was encouraging. It was beautiful. It was profound, the things that were coming into my mind. And I was in such a state at this point, being so young, being only a late teenager, that I didn't think to record any of it. I mean, at this point, we didn't really have you didn't have an iPhone with a recording app on it, or you didn't share about these things on podcasts and Instagram. And so I had a handful of journals of things that I recorded down, but I would get these urges to go out into the world and to do things that I would have never done. I would get the urges to start asking for messages about things, which I'd never done before. I don't know why I began doing this, but I do know now it's because my mind had checked the fuck out and the inner voice was coming through me. The inner voice saw a door, which was my belief that Anthony was, I mean, that that Ethan was coming to me in those instances, and that he was feeding me all of this information from the other side. It was amazing. I remember I would go into Borders when Borders was still a thing, and I would walk into Borders and I would just say, Ethan, like, show me what I need to see today. Show me the book that I need to read today. And I would just allow this power to come over me, and I would just feel the tug this way and that way down that aisle and this aisle and zigging and zagging, and then eventually I would zone in on one book. This was actually how I found one of the most profound books that I've read in my life, which I shouldn't say one of the most because there are so many, but this was, at the time, exactly what I needed. This book was Journey of Souls. If you've read it, you will understand entirely why this book was so profound for me in this moment. If you haven't read it, I would suggest going out and reading it. It's a trip. It's an actual trip, this book. The book is all research-based, a man putting people into what I think he referred to as super hypnosis, and taking people not just back to their birth, but taking them even farther back so they could see where they were between this life and the last life. He would take them back into past life regressions, like I'm sure many of you have heard of, past life regression, taking someone back into their last life. But he would even take it then, he would take them to their death in that lifetime. And then he would ask them what was happening after that. And at this point in my experience, having just lost, very tragically, somebody that I knew and loved for many years, the first love of my life, when I was just a young girl, all I could ask myself at this point in my life was why? Why did this happen? And where is he? Where is he? Where did he go? Where did he go? That was the question that I just kept asking, and I felt his presence with me all the time, and I didn't have anybody to talk to about it because I thought that if I talked or I told anybody that I felt him with me every second of every day, like he was in me, like he was inside of me, like he was possessing me, like he was directing me in my mind and performing my actions. If I told the people around me, they would have thought I was schizophrenic or something. And this book, being led to this book in that Borders that day, I know for a fact, in present day, after everything that I've learned, that was my intuition, my inner voice guiding me. Not Ethan. It was just the door had been opened, and the inner voice, the intuition, my highest self, my soul, whatever you want to call it, came rushing in. It saw the door open, and it knew that the only way that I would listen was if it was his voice, because I was asking the questions. I was asking the questions, where is he? Is he okay? And this book was the golden ticket. This book was the thing that gave me peace of mind and helped me know that he was okay. I'm sure that a lot of you listening to this can look back in your life and remember a time when you picked up a book, and in picking up that book and reading the words, whether it's a story or whether it's some sort of biography or science-based book, whatever it happens to be, you open that book and you read the words, and then you just feel it in your body that this is true. That this is true. I don't need scientific evidence. I don't need to have actually experienced in my own life. It's just true. And I can't explain why. It's just this feeling in my body. Like, I know what truth feels like in my body. And now I know that that is just my soul consciousness, my inner self, my inner voice, my intuition coming through and showing me the truth. And that book at that point in my life was the truth. All the things in this book were all the answers to the questions that I was asking, all answered to me and laid out in it, and they all brought such peace. They gave me such peace. And that's all I'd been asking for was peace. Sadly, about 2 months into doing this, living entirely what I would refer to as in complete soul consciousness, the way that if you've read the Byron Katie and the Eckhart Tolle stories where they just had those moments of enlightenment and then they could just choose it forever. When Eckhart Tolle woke up and I don't remember if it was Byron Katie or if it was Eckhart Tolle who had the cockroach crawl over their foot and that was the moment. But either one, Eckhart Tolle waking up and just knowing that he didn't have to choose his thoughts anymore, that he wasn't his thoughts. And then now he's just Eckhart Tolle. He's just an enlightened being. And same with Byron Katie. Byron Katie just woke up one day and she knew that she didn't have to choose her thoughts anymore. It was a good 2 months, I want to say, where I was living that experience. That was my experience. But because the voice didn't come to me as my own and I didn't see it as enlightenment, I didn't continue choosing it. Eventually, I thought that I needed to let go of Ethan, that I needed to let go of this man that I loved and that had died. I thought that I needed to move on and that I needed to let him go because him staying and clinging to me like this meant that he couldn't be at peace. And so I remember so vividly sitting down at the end of my bed and praying, which I've never done. I don't pray. I've never been a religious person. If anything, Catholicism and Christianity has always given me this ick feeling. But I sat down and I prayed. I prayed, but not to God. I prayed to Ethan. I just wanted to speak to him because even though his voice was coming through me all the time, I didn't feel like I was talking to him. I just felt like I was being talked at and I couldn't go in and ask questions and get the answers. It was just me. He was just there. And so one day I sat down and I, with tears running down my face and shaking horrifically and sobbing, I said out loud, "Ethan, I love you so much and I want you to be at peace. I can't ever know in this form that I'm in right now where you are. But I know that wherever you are, that you're okay. And I want you to know that I'm okay. I'm okay, and you can go now." I remember this was such a profound moment for me. "You can go now, Ethan. It's okay. I love you so much. And it's okay. You can go now." And then I let go, and he was gone. And now I know that maybe it wasn't him that was gone, but it was the mind coming back in and saying that we can't live our life like this. We can't live our life through this enlightened consciousness any longer. And the mind was thinking that it was Ethan and that we needed to let him go because it was crazy and that we were going to be a crazy person. And so I let him go and then I stopped hearing the voice. And that was when the post-traumatic stress disorder kicked in and the anxiety attacks kicked in and the depression and the pain, the labels of it don't matter. All that matters is that it was pain. And it lasted for years after this. But I still occasionally would find my way back somehow to the inner voice, to the intuition, to my highest self. And it never happened the way that I thought that it would. In the second instant, it always happened when I would do this meditation where I was asking, it was a really short meditation, 7 minutes. I would meditate every single day because I thought that quieting the mind and just being still was the only way that I could find peace in my life at this point. Maybe at this point I was in my mid-20s. And I would do these meditations where I would call on my spirit guides. I would call them in and I would visualize them walking towards me. And then there was that moment where the meditation would say, and now you can ask your guides any questions. And then the music would just play, and I would ask questions, and I would get answers, and I would ask questions, and I would get answers. And they were always the same thing that I experienced before. Very calm, wise, and profound statements, things that my mind did not agree with at all. And that is how I knew that it was coming from something deeper, that I was something more, was because I was getting these answers, and there was a part of me that disagreed, the mind in me disagreed. And that was how I knew that I was separate from the mind. Because I would get these answers and I would have such a deep desire for them to be true. I would feel the peace and the serenity and the wisdom in them, in those moments, knowing that it was me, that it was coming from the highest part of myself. But at this point, I still didn't know that I had full access to it. And so coming out of these meditations, I would just go back into life and I would experience the pain. And then it wasn't until a moment when a relationship was ending that I began listening to Jess Lively's podcast, The Lively Show. And she would refer to the intuition all the time, but she at this point was referring to writing to the intuition. She wasn't actually channeling her inner voice yet. She would just text message to the universe, or she would journal in her book, and then she had her little web page that showed you how to talk to the inner voice by journaling. I never did that. It never felt flowy to me, but in those instances when she would talk about the inner voice, I always felt like I must have done this before, because I know what she's talking about, but I never knew that it was me. I always thought it was I thought it was Ethan, and then I thought it was my guides, and then I thought that it was, I don't know, something else. But at the end of this relationship, I was in so much pain, and I just wanted the pain to end. And I remember, again, sitting on my bathroom floor in my first ever apartment, sobbing, because I was in so much pain. This relationship I knew was coming to an end, and I didn't want it to, because I loved him so, so deeply. And I remember sitting on the bathroom floor, sobbing and shaking and feeling so much pain and just wishing that it would go away. And then suddenly I felt this complete wave of relief wash through my entire body, inexplicably, because I'd been in the middle of these earth-shattering sobs, feeling like my body was being torn apart, and then they just stopped. And I suddenly, well, I can only refer to it as a download. I downloaded this instant, this knowledge that said, it wasn't even something that it was said, that's why I refer to it as a download. It was just, I suddenly knew, even though the mind in me was like, I'm going to be alone forever. I'm just not meant to be with anyone. I'm too fucked up. And nobody will ever understand me and the things that I've been through. I'm just too weird. I'm a weird person. And nobody will ever accept me for who I am. And if this relationship ends, then I'm going to be alone forever. That's it. That was what the mind believed in those instances, and that was why I was in so much pain, because I didn't want to be alone, but the mind thought I was going to be alone. And it was like this hush washed through me, and I felt this energy of comfort. That's the best way I can describe it. Like, if there had been a person sitting in that room with me saying absolutely everything that I needed to hear, but not actually opening their mouth and saying anything, and rubbing my back and holding my hand and dabbing my tears, somebody was giving me all the comfort and the support that I needed. That was the way that I felt in that instant, even though it was just me sitting there. And I realized in that moment that I was the one that was comforting me. And not just that, like, me as a human, I was sitting there, like, patting myself on the back, like, oh, like, I feel better myself. No, I meant, it meant, I felt me, the truest me, the soul consciousness, the inner voice, the intuition, my fucking life force was comforting me. The deepest part of myself was comforting me. The truest part of myself was comforting me. It was comforting the mind. That part of myself was comforting the mind, which was the thing that was in pain. It was not me. This was the most earth-shattering moment for me. And since then, the inner voice has been strong in me. I am in constant communication with the inner voice. All of the actions that I take, I am not by any means an Eckhart Tolle or a Byron Katie, but I am doing my absolute best walking in that direction. Every action that I take, every step, every move, I double check and make sure that that's the path that the inner voice wants me to walk. And it's gotten to the point where everything that I do, it's not even this need to take a deep breath and dip down. It just, I know when something is going to serve my highest good. And I'm not perfect at it all the time. I'm absolutely not perfect at it. If I were perfect at it, there would be no reason for me to be here. I would just die and I would be a soul again, you know? And I want to be here. I want to be in this experience. I want to experience life. And that is the reason why I think that we all choose to come here, is to experience the beauty and the ups and the downs and the emotions and the mind, all the things that we cannot experience just as soul consciousness. All the yummy and delicious and amazing and beautiful things like nature and sunsets and food and people, human interaction. Over the last 2 or 3 years of my life has changed so much in comparison to the way that it was. I don't recognize the person that I was before when I was in resistance to this part of myself. And the more that I release the resistance around being this person, the person who chooses to embody her soul consciousness, to embody her inner voice, her inner self, the more that I embody this person, the less pain that I feel and experience. I don't want to come off like I'm never in pain, because I feel pain. But it is nothing in comparison to the way that I felt when this journey of mine began and I shut it all off and I pushed it all away. The pain that I felt during those years, in all honesty, thinking about it now and the emotional state that I'm in now, it's immeasurable. It was momentous, extraordinary. And for anybody listening to this who it feels the extraordinary and momentous and outstanding amount of pain that they could potentially be in right now, just know that the only reason that you can feel that depth of pain is because there is beauty of equality on the other side of that. Whatever amount of deep, gut-wrenching pain that you've experienced, there is its perfect opposite in existence. The purest and most blissful joy that you could ever imagine is on the other side of that. The pain wouldn't exist if its opposite didn't also exist. And so you can rest assured that the reason, if you're in pain right now, you can rest assured that the reason that that pain that you are in right now, the reason that it's in existence, is because its equal exists within you and you're in that much resistance against it. Because anything that causes you pain is just resistance. And all resistance means is that the highest aspect of yourself does not agree with whatever thought that is creating the pain. For me, one of the biggest pain bodies, I'll call it, one of the biggest pain points for me in my early 20s was this thought and belief that I was going to be alone forever, that I was so fucking weird, that I was such a strange and abnormal and unique and odd person that not a single person in this world would accept me truly. And that was so false and so inaccurate and so not true that of course it caused me immeasurable pain, because the truest part of me did not agree with that. The truest part of me, the deepest depths of me, didn't agree. But I was in such resistance to that belief that it was just, imagine when you're tightening a rope, it just gets, when you're pulling on both ends of a rope, it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter in the center. And that is all that the resistance, the pain is. It's just the tightening. It's just the tightening. Both ends are pulling at the same time. And all you have to do is let go of one side. Abraham Hicks talks about this all the time. Abraham Hicks talks about this all the time. She always talks about it, refers to it as you're in a stream and you're in a boat and you're trying to paddle upstream and it's so hard and you get a little while and then you have to take a break and you go backwards and then you have to paddle really hard to keep going up the stream, but it never works. You can never get back to where you were before. But if you just pull your paddles out of the water and you just let go, you would float perfectly exactly where you're meant to be. Without any effort, without trying, you would just be there. And that is what I've been attempting to do in my own life for the last 2 years at least, the last full year entirely, I would say. The last year of my life has probably been the scariest year of my entire existence, and I've seen some shit. But it's also been the most magnificent, the most beautiful, gorgeous, and overwhelmingly joyful year of my life. Every year becomes even more joyful than the year before. And I have this work that I've committed to thank for that. And that is my journey from then until now, the introduction that I had in my youth to the inner voice, to my highest self, to intuition, all the way to now having a name for it and embodying it as much as I possibly can. I really wanted to spend this first episode letting people see how I've gotten to where I am right now, the journey that I've taken from the girl that was in pain and that was insecure and jealous and envious and always thinking about the past and ruminating and in constant resistance to the present, never feeling satisfied, to now living a life that I never could have dreamed of back then, a life that I would have thought was just a dream back then, the dream after the dream. That's the life that I'm living now, something that I never would have thought that I had the courage to do, but that's for tomorrow's episode. Thank you so much for whoever's listening to this, and I'll talk to you next time.